right, everyone. Welcome to tonight's episode of the Hot Widows Club podcast. My name is Crystal. I'm the Hot Widow of Eric. With me tonight, I have the cutest little Christmas pal, who is the Hot Widow of Ross.
Hi, everybody.
Miss Allie in the house with her cute little Christmas jammies on. Allie and I have special news for you guys. Tonight's episode is definitely going to be interesting, and we're going to call it Pillow Talk.
That's with right.
The widows.
It is Friday night, 8 o'clock. Well, 8:30. We are so much fun. We are here in our Christmas jammies, and we are here to talk to you about being a widow and grief and all the fun stuff that goes with that around the holidays.
Yes. So, man, so much to talk about tonight. I have three main things I want to talk about.
Okay.
Want me to start with one?
Yeah, start us off.
All right. Number one, I hate Nebraska because it's so cold in the winter. And the thing I hate about the cold is the amount of clothes that you have to wear to maintain a comfortable temperature. But as soon as you put on all those clothes, you got to rip them all off as soon as you enter a building. So I got dressed yesterday and I had to wear a long sleeve t-shirt, a sweatshirt, a coat over that, pants, socks up to my ankles, shoes, hat, gloves.
Mm-hmm.
And then I walk inside a building and I'm like, somebody get all these clothes off of me because it's just so uncomfortable.
Yeah. I know. There's not a happy medium.
There's not.
Plus, you're trying to get your kids dressed and my kids don't want to wear pants half the time, let alone a coat.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
Ben's running out the door the other day. It's like 12 degrees in Nebraska. He's got, because I made him wear tights underneath of his shorts, he's got his tights pulled up to the length of his shorts and his socks pulled up to his knees. And he's running with Crocs on.
Oh, I love that kid.
No coat and a woman's stocking cap. The kid is doomed.
No, that kid is going places.
Okay. So after he walks out the door, I go upstairs. I'm getting ready to go to work. And I sit down on the toilet only to get the wettest butt I've ever had in my life because he pees all over the toilet seat.
Oh, yeah. Pee everywhere. Everywhere.
I don't know what I'm going to do. But anyways, that's my first complaint or my first thing to talk about tonight.
What's your second thing? Just keep going.
Okay. So my carpool story. So I was doing drop off the other day and like everyone that I drop off is in this 13, 14 year old age group. And so before they get out of the car, I used to say to them every day, I've always told these girls this because they're like my own. And I always say, be good girls, do good things and be kind to others. And I love you. And they repeat it after me. It's the cutest thing. I love it.
I love it too.
Okay. Now that they're 13 and 14, when I drop them off, I say, don't do drugs. Don't take fentanyl. Don't have sex. Don't vape. Don't get into fights with your friends and don't skip school and get arrested.
Well, that's a lot to remember.
It's probably not in that order every time, but it's something similar to that. Because then I also tell them, be good girls, do good things and be kind to others. But isn't that crazy that they're exposed to so much crap?
Yeah, that terrifies me.
I know.
I mean, the cell phones terrify me. Gus was asking me when he gets a cell phone, like when you're 16, buddy. When you start driving.
You'll cave.
No. Terrified. Okay. Maybe a watch. I understand the watches.
It's on the podcast. We're going to hold Allie to that.
I know that's going to be a hard one.
Yeah, I said 16 too. But like, think about all those things. Like all those things you just listed off, Allie.
Mm-hmm.
We have to navigate alone. And I never would have brought those words up to my children. But they come home telling me that they're learning about this stuff at school. In anti-drug week, they're learning about it in sex ed class. They're learning about it in their health classes. Like all of those are topics that they've come home and asked me questions about and that they've said, Mom, someone died because of this. Or did you know what this means?
Maybe you don't agree with me, but I feel like that's all good stuff they're learning. Like that's good. They're learning that. I thought they were coming home and telling you that they were learning that from their friend in the hallway.
No, no, no. It doesn't bother me that they're learning it. It's just words I didn't think I would need to address.
You don't have to. They're learning it in school. I think that's great.
I was driving. One of my favorite songs came on. It's a Widespread Panic song. Uh-huh. It's called I Can't Get High. It's about, you know, you're gone and now I can't get high anymore. And poor Violet's in the backseat. And she goes, Mom, what's getting high mean?
Good question.
And so in the context of the song, I explained it to her this way. I said, well, like when Daddy was here, like everything was great in our house. And we felt good and we acted good and we were in so much love and everything was really nice, right? It was perfectly put together. And I said, now Daddy's gone, like in the song, and now we can't get that feeling anymore. And so that's how I relate the song to life. I didn't say it's smoking kind bud.
I mean, that is a great explanation.
I felt like it was good.
You came up with that on the cuff. Mm-hmm. You are so impressive. Will you help me raise my kids?
No, I barely raise my own because I wanted to say it's smoking kind buds. Just kidding. I don't do drugs. But that was a tough question to answer.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
Yeah. I talked about a 3-shirt minimum. So being in Nebraska, you basically have to wear 3 shirts minimum. Tank top, long sleeve t-shirt, and some sort of sweater over that. So if you're traveling from out of state to come to Nebraska, the sign that you see when you come in says 3-shirt minimum. Not to be confused with 2-drink maximum.
It's a Friday night, folks.
It is Friday night. Allie, what do you got? Give me something good.
Oh man, mine aren't as exciting as yours. I don't talk about this a lot, but I feel like I need to because I do this a lot. So I visit Ross quite a bit at the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And because again, I'm fun like that. I'm so fun to hang out with. My favorite place is to go to the cemetery. And that's true.
Yep.
But the reason why I find it so peaceful and calm there. Like I will go there over lunch
mm-hmm.
and sit. This might sound creepy to people, but I sit where I will eventually be laid down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like sitting basically next to Ross and I just talk to him. I talk to him about everything that's going on. And it's almost like he already knows it in mm-hmm. my mind, mm-hmm. but I just want to talk it out with him.
Does he know about me?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I wonder if he likes
it. I talk about you.
Oh.
Yeah. I talk about whatever is going on in at that moment that's on my mind, which you're always top of mind. So yeah, of course he knows about you.
Okay, good.
But what's interesting, and I go to the cemetery quite a bit. There's hardly anybody there. Whenever I go, and I've gone random times, like there's not a lot of people there, but the last 2 times I have gone, I was driving around the cemetery, which I always do. I always go in a big circle and I park at the top of the hill and I look down and this man was sitting, he must've brought his own chair, was sitting next to a grave and was weeping, mm-hmm. just weeping. And I wanted to give him the biggest hug. I almost did.
You didn't?
No. I mean, he was having a moment and I thought, okay. And I thought, do you think he's weeping because he's lost his wife? You know, that these are like the things that are going through my head. He was probably, if I had to guess, he was around 80 years old. I know. It was just it was the sweetest thing. But this last time I went, okay. And this time I took Hanky. So I take the boys probably once every 2 months
mm-hmm.
And they update him on whatever's going on. So like Gus will show him his soccer medal or whatever. And it's just the sweetest thing. But Gus was at a birthday party and it was right by the cemetery. And I said, okay, Hanky, we're going to go visit Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
So Hank was like, great, I'm going to read to Daddy's because he has these books.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. So we brought everything we needed, you know, and we get there and there is a brand new grave just very close to Ross,
mm-hmm.
and brand new, probably within the last, I don't know, week or so. And it's new to me. I haven't seen it. And so I'm like, oh my goodness. And so I'm talking to Hanky about this, and all of a sudden this family shows up again. I'm telling you, every time, almost every time I go, there's nobody there. This family shows up. There's probably 30 people.
Holy cow.
Like a huge family shows up to this grave. Okay. And they are singing. They're singing. Like, this huge family is singing.
Wow.
In Spanish. I don't know what they're singing. They have a guitar.
Nice.
Yeah. It was
rock and roll.
It was like, so they set up kind of like a memorial around this grave. And I think I gathered, again, I don't speak Spanish, but I think I gathered that it was this individual's birthday.
Oh.
And the daughter, I mean, I I'm just guessing, but the daughter of whoever passed away was 16.
Oh my gosh.
She's sitting in the middle of this grave, like on a chair, just like, I could just feel
the pain.
The pain.
Mm-hmm.
And
my gosh,
I don't, it was sad to see, but it was like, everybody grieves. Everybody goes through this. And it's like, what a thing that we're doing, Crystal. Yeah. We're touching, hopefully. I mean, I don't know. I hope that we're reaching people that need us. But like, everybody is not alone. We're not alone. And we feel like in times that we are. There are nights where I go home and I'm crying and I feel so alone. But we're not.
No.
We're all in this together.
Absolutely.
This crazy ass world.
Yeah, this big ass fucking world. We are all in this together, and everyone is going through something so insane. And you never know what it is. And it hurts. It hurts in different ways at different times. I know one thing I want to talk about later tonight is the holidays, because it's here and it is real. It's right in front of us, and it hurts.
Yes. Fucking sucks.
It really does blow.
It does. And even though this is the second year of going through this, fucking sucks. Like, I just heard a Christmas song the other day, and it's not happy to me.
Yeah.
So I don't feel cheer.
Yeah.
And am I like the Scrooge? Maybe. I used to love Christmas.
I mean, I feel better this year than I did last year. I have to say, I do feel better. Because last year was really, really hard. Last year, I felt so empty, so cold, and so alone. I don't feel alone this year because I have you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel alone because I have the amazing people in my life. I do feel alone because I miss Eric so, so, so much. And it's hard because it's the holidays and I want him there. I want to wake up next to him. I want to see him. I want him to help me, you know, buy gifts. I want him to see the kid's face, to get excited over different things during the holiday season. I want him to drive us on any trip that we go on during the holidays. But I know that I have you. And I think that's a really special thing. I have a story about that. So I went to an event with Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, holding true to my commitment. And this was on Tuesday night. I don't think I've told you this. I might not have. You might get jealous. Aches. Okay. So I walk into this event and I'm doing introductions and someone says, hey, I'd like you to meet Becky. And I say, oh, hi, Becky. How are you? And she introduces herself and her husband, Paul. Paul has this amazing Irish accent. They look very happy. And I'm, you know, doing my thing. And someone says, you know, Becky is a widow. She lost her husband to leukemia four years ago. And she is raising three kids on her own. The room stopped. Like, all I needed to hear was widow, three kids, alone. And no matter what was going on in that room around me, everything stopped, because my focus then turned from doing what I was doing to finding Becky and talking to her. So I find her and I talk to her, and it was like, for the rest of the night, it was just Becky and I in the room. Nobody else mattered. because of that
beautiful
instant connection you have to a widow.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just don't feel alone because I have you all. I have everyone in this tribe, this hood that we get the opportunity to exist in, especially you. And you're really cute in that outfit tonight. Oh my gosh.
We'll take a picture with our jammies, Christmas jammies. No, I have you too. And I'm so thankful. I feel closer to you than I did last year.
Mm-hmm, me too.
I mean, we're obviously so much closer and it, that will continue to grow. But you're right. It's just having little kids and just sharing the holidays with their dad and my best friend, doing that all together. I just miss him. I just miss him a lot. And yeah. I know he loved the holidays mm-hmm. and would get so excited. Like we would shop together and he would pick out, you know, he would just be so excited about picking out the perfect gift. And you know what is so funny is you and him are very similar.
Oh,
he was the best gift giver.
Oh, okay.
He was, I never told you that. He was such a good gift giver, just like you.
This is so weird. I just feel like every time we start talking about our spouses, it just feels like we were meant to be put next to one another. Like they truly put this relationship together.
That's why when you asked me if Ross knows you, I'm like, he knew you before I knew you. Like, I really feel like that. I feel like that Eric and Ross brought us together.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's weird. Mm-hmm. This whole world is almost bizarre since Eric died. I have this whole new sense of the world around me that I didn't have before. I had a great dinner this week. I had dinner with Eric's doctor. I really enjoy spending time with him. He's very nice. And he shared something with me that has put me into a space that I'm grateful I'm there. I'm grateful I'm thinking about it. I'm grateful I'm reflecting on it. But he talked to me about, why he's so close with me still. And he talked about the relationship that Eric and I had. And he said to me, when Eric made the decision to stop treatment, he was so peaceful about it. And that Eric felt so comfortable with it. And he said, watching you guys together as a team going through this journey, you guys were the calmest. Okay, so sometimes we were calm. One of us may not have always been as calm, but he said, you guys were so calm and you knew what you wanted and you were such a good team together that it was almost this, I was drawn to you, you and Eric, because of the way you guys handled your journey. And that felt really good that I know that Eric and I left a mark on someone. And that's all my goal is in this world, is to help to share love. Yeah. Really help people to see how cool it is to be that special person in someone's life, even if it's for a moment.
How powerful love is.
Yeah.
Love is so powerful.
And what do they say? It's like people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that was a thing. And now as I'm living this crazy life, hey, my friend Cindy wants to live with us on the farm. Is there going to be room for her?
I don't know. Yes, of course, Cindy. Well, of course. I mean, we're going to have a lot of peacocks, so.
Yeah, she wants alpacas. I said they stink.
As long as she can help.
That's what I told her. I said, I'm not taking care of your shitty ass alpacas, but you can have them and you can live with us, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm totally fine with that, Cindy.
The more the merrier. Maybe we should create a widow commune. Cindy's not a widow, but.
Oh, then you're out. Connie, you're in.
Connie, you're in.
I'm kidding.
I have something I want to share with you, Allie.
Okay.
So as we go into the holidays, it's hard. I already said that. We've said it a million times. But you've never heard Eric's voice before.
No, I haven't.
And I want to share that with you.
Oh my gosh.
I want to share that with our listeners.
Okay.
It's a tough message to play. It's a tough message to hear. I'm sure Allie can sense a change in my demeanor.
Yeah, just are you getting nervous?
Thinking about this, but it's a voicemail from Eric. I only have one, so if something happens to it, I hope this podcast will forever be available to retain this voicemail. But the summer of 2020 was COVID, and Eric was in the hospital a lot. And I've said this before, but whatever you believe about COVID in 2020, when your husband had no immune system, I had to do what I had to do, what was right in front of me, and I had to listen to whatever they were saying. And so Eric was in and out of the hospital so much. I would drop him off at the front door, and he was weak and he was feeble and fevering as well, which when you're a leukemia patient and you have a fever, like you're just wiped out completely. I would drop him off at the front door and I would say goodbye. And I didn't know if I was going to pick him up as a human being or a corpse because I wasn't allowed in that building. And my husband was so sick. And they were just like, I'm sorry, ma'am, you can't come with him. And I was respectful of that. I understood that everyone had that. But the impact that it left on me and my journey was really significant as I look back now. And so every time he went in there, it was, is he coming home or as a person or am I picking up a corpse today? Because I never knew. And he was very sick one day, and I was talking to him, and I was crying, and I just said, Eric, just call me back and leave me a voicemail. Just leave me a voicemail. That's all I want right now. Just call me back. And so I never listened to that voicemail. I left it in my phone for months, and I just listened to this voicemail maybe 6-9 months ago, so 6 to 9 months after he passed away. And I got a voicemail today. And I looked at it again and I listened to it and I thought, I want Allie to hear this.
Okay.
Because it has a lot for us to share, a lot for us to talk about. So do you mind if I play it?
Yeah, please.
Crystal, I love you so much. You are the best thing that anything has ever happened to me. We have the best 3 kids that we could ever have. So whatever happens, I don't want any of you guys to change. Stay exactly the way you are. Be loving, be kind, be smiley, be happy. And I will be strong and we'll get through this. And I love you all so, so much. Bye.
Oh my gosh. That's beautiful.
Isn't he the sweetest?
Yeah. You could tell he doesn't feel good.
Do you think I've done what he wanted?
Yes. And more. I think he's so proud of you.
Yeah. I love him so much.
Yeah.
Hearing his voice just makes me think about, you know, like hearing that and that call and remembering what he was going through and the strength that it took for him to power through every single day.
Yeah. You could tell that he was struggling, but like he was calm. Mm-hmm.
He was always calm.
Yeah.
He never got upset. He never fought what was going on. He was never in denial. He just went through it every day and said, I'm doing this for you. He literally fought for me and the kids.
Yeah.
Every single day. And he was so sick. And so I hope that voicemail brings inspiration to you all as you go through something. You know, Allie and I have talked about being sick on our last episode and hearing Eric, like knowing how sick he was when I dropped him off at that time. That he called me and shared that message of love and hope with me, that no matter what happens, he'll be strong. Of course he will. He's the best.
Gosh, that's moving.
Do you have anything from Ross that you would share with?
I mean, mine, I have voicemails, not like that.
That's okay. I want to hear Ross's voice.
Okay, mine's a little different.
That's okay. I only have one. That's it. I don't have anything else. I'd give anything for something different. Happy.
So I have several voicemails from Ross that I just happen to have saved, not knowing any of this would happen to us. And okay, I'll share one. So This was from January of 2018. We had just found out that I was pregnant with Hank, and it was a complete surprise. Like, I think I've shared the story with you about how we still don't know how Hanky came about, but he did. So anyways.
I think I have an idea.
I mean, yeah, but okay. So are you ready?
I can't wait to hear this.
Okay. So this, okay, here we go.
Hey babe, I was just calling to tell you I love you. Hope you're feeling better. I'm sure you're probably dying. Let me know if anything sounds good or, you know, whatever. Maybe you should book a massage. I think you should start getting massages weekly again now that you're pregnant. So that's not an excuse to get pregnant just so you can get weekly massages, but I'm not opposed to you doing that at all. Anyway, I love you. Talk to you later. Bye.
Allie, it's perfect. He sounds so sweet.
He was. He loved me more than anything in this world. And he always took care of me. Just, he adored me and
adores.
Yes, adores me, I guess, still. I think so.
I think so too.
I always ask him to stay with me. I always worry that he's going to leave. I don't know why I have that fear, but
I think Eric's left me. I think he feels like I'm strong enough and he's left me. I think he works on the kids now and they don't know it. He never comes to me anymore.
That's not true.
I don't know. I mean, I'm happy if he's helping the kids, but like, I mean, I talk to him all the time. I have pictures of him all over. I talk about him all the time to the kids.
Mm-hmm. So do I. Yeah.
I asked the kids if they wanted us to take him with us on our trip tomorrow.
Yeah. To Colorado.
Uh-huh. Now that this is airing after I get home, I could tell you guys that our kids and I are leaving for Colorado tomorrow. We're going to drive to Colorado Springs, see my sister, do the Manitou Incline, spend some time in Manitou Springs. And then we're going to go into Denver and have a couple friends there, hang out, spend some time with Eric's family, which I can't wait. I love them, as you guys all know.
Yeah.
And then we'll come home and get back at the grind. Anyways, I think of taking Eric with me. I was kind of thinking of taking his big picture with me.
In the back seat?
No, the front. He's riding bitch. And if he could drive, that'd be great.
I want you to know that I don't think he will ever leave you.
You think?
I don't think he ever will.
Why can't I feel him right now?
I think you do. I think you just feel him in a different way. Because you feel different.
Maybe.
I don't see him ever leaving you.
You're so bright. How do you come up with that?
It's just how I feel. That's how I feel about you. I don't think he ever will.
I hope not.
And I think that you are stronger, a little stronger. And so you just.
Is that because I can do more push-ups than you?
No. Yeah.
We'll take a video later of Allie and I doing push-ups.
I can't do one.
You can too.
I mean, can I go on my knees?
No.
Oh.
You can do them.
The last episode we aired, wasn't Joe great, everybody? Loved him. But I did roll the dice. So we're visiting the Brunings. So I rolled it twice and both times I was like, okay, best out of three.
Why'd you roll it twice?
I don't know. The doubt. I don't freaking know.
Okay. If it feels right, baby, get after it.
I said, before I rolled, I even said to myself, best out of three. So okay. I don't know why I did that, but that's
you made that commitment. Then you made that.
So best out of three, Brunings. I am.
Is Chelsea
so
coming?
So excited. No. And I think that's why it's not that I didn't want to see the Brunings. I just am very close to Chelsea and I miss her. I miss her so much. I miss you so much, Chelsea. I just can't wait to see you. I wish you lived here. I wish we lived close to you. I love you. But she's not going to be there, but that's okay. I'm so excited to see Ross's dad, Wayne, and Ross's brother and his kids. And we're going to his cousin Jill's house, and she's just like the sweetest human. It's going to be great. I think it's hard for me to drive to Iowa. So we're driving back to his hometown, and just driving there alone. Like mm-hmm. Ross would always drive us back to his hometown, and it's really weird and it feels uncomfortable. It doesn't feel right to like go back there without him.
I get that, but you're not alone. You've got Gussie and you've got Hinky.
Oh yeah. It's just
no other human adult.
No, it's just not Ross. Like anybody just taking you back would feel weird. It's like, it's because Ross isn't there.
Right.
I don't know. But it's going to be great.
Yeah. I have not driven to Eric's parents are always very kind and they always come to Omaha. And that's helpful for me. I have not driven there since he passed away. I think that'd be hard.
Yeah, that's...
I can understand why you're feeling that way.
It just doesn't feel right. It feels, I don't know, something in my heart. Like, anyways, because like just all the memories coming back of like the first time he took me back to his hometown, mm-hmm. the first time he took me to his high school, you Aww. Know, like where he used to fish. So he loved to fish. And so he would take me, he took me there and he was so excited to show me all these things.
Yeah.
You know, because he cared about me and he wanted me to know about his life. And so going back to where he grew up and like all of these memories, it's me sharing them with our boys.
Right.
Based on what Ross told me. It's like, it's next level. Like sometimes I'm like, did I make up Ross? Like Ross sometimes is like it's hard to describe it, but it's like a dream.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Next level. I love when you say that because that's exactly what it was like. It was like, this is like when you were at that level and then you come down, it's like, wow, I can't get high. It's the feeling of euphoria.
Yeah.
It's truly that feeling of completeness, wholeness. Maslow's fucking hierarchy right here in front of you. You've reached self-actualization. And then boom, your spouse dies and now your basic human needs are no longer being met. Okay, fine. I still had food, shelter, and water. But I didn't have the feeling of safety and belonging after Eric died. And
no.
Got to rebuild that back up to get to that next level.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a fan of Maslow's hierarchy? Do you follow it?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I use it a lot in behavioral coaching. If you don't have certain needs met, I always talk about human beings they don't have behaviors. They use them and they use them to get their needs met. And so that's why they tend to lash out as if they have unmet needs. And it's our job to figure out what are those unmet needs. So boom, there you go. There's some life coaching for you.
Love it.
We're going to get through the holidays. Let's give some advice. So first of all, the holiday is going to come. And I don't know how you're going to feel. I have no idea. I know Joe will tell you he still gets sad every Christmas. But the sun is going to come up. And the day will be, it will have moments and it will have events. And some will be highs and some will be lows. And the sun is going to go down and you are going to go to bed. And the next day that sun's going to come up. And the holidays will then be over.
I have a question for you.
Spitfire.
Okay. What advice would you give to those that want to help somebody who's grieving these holidays? Like, what advice could you give to somebody who wants to help a grieve? What to do for those that are grieving?
Meet them where they're at. Accept them in the moment. What I would have liked that first year would have been for someone just to show up and say, hey, I'm just here to be with you and the kids. And make it easy for me. Just make me feel loved. make me feel warm again. And so I think if you have someone who is grieving this season, let them know that you're there and be there for them. Be present on their terms, not yours.
I love that. Great advice.
I mean, and snacks. I like snacks. I'm actually concerned. I don't know what I'm going to eat on Thanksgiving. You know, I don't eat that much.
I know. Ladies and gentlemen, every time I eat with Crystal, she's eating like soup. Soup and water and like liquids.
Soup with a lot of meat in it because I need a lot of protein for my weightlifting. So.
I know. She's got a hot ass bod.
My buddy Steve the other day told him how I was eating turkey.
And well, that's what you'll eat.
He said, turkey, I guess turkey's all right. I wouldn't consider it garbage meat.
What's garbage meat?
I don't know. I'm going to have to ask Steve to define what else is garbage meat in his eyes. I do love soup. I eat a lot of it.
You eat a lot of soup, a lot of brothy soup.
I do, with a ton of meat in it. It's disgusting to most people. I made soup at work the other day, and they're like, what would you call your soup? I said, soup surprise. Soup fucking surprise.
Sounds like there's drugs in there.
There might have been. You never know. Crapshoot with me. So what was I talking about that got me on soup and eating for Thanksgiving?
Oh, you said snacks. Bring your griever snacks.
Bring your griever snacks. Like, we like to eat. We don't eat that much because we got to do it ourselves. The reason I don't eat that much is because I don't have the energy to cook.
I mean, yeah. Amen to that.
Yeah. I don't eat processed food. So like, what am I going to do? I'm stuck.
You just drink your broth.
Just drink my broth. Meaty soup broth. And water with the occasional shot of tequila.
Again, liquids.
I know. I wonder if I'm planning on drinking a lot or a little when I'm in Colorado. It depends on how I feel.
Are you
going to
be doing other stuff out there?
No, I will not. I am a mature woman, mother of three. I will not be imbibing in anything else.
Your kids are learning about drugs.
Yeah. Stay away. Let's see. And plus, you're not there to help me stay on the straight and narrow.
I know. I got to keep you on that.
Mm-hmm. The right path.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not big into not feeling like myself. I really have that feeling of euphoria most of the time. I can create that.
Myself. Wow. Magic.
Just like magic. I don't know the rest of the words or I'd keep singing.
My advice would be if the griever is wanting to. Okay, so I think Crystal had a really good advice. Get to their level, like whatever that level is, you would grieve differently, right? So don't try to judge how they're grieving. Try to get to where they're at, because however they're grieving is the right way to grieve.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, this is even for this holidays, is I want to talk about Ross. Like, I like talking about him. I don't want to avoid the topic because it's awkward for you, or I don't know. I just ask about that person. What's your favorite memory with them? Holiday memory.
Right.
If that's too hard, then, you know, stick to the basics. You could even share your favorite memory, even better. Yeah. I would love to hear your favorite memory about Ross, people, if you have them.
I want to hear our widow and widowers' favorite things about their spouses.
Yeah.
So drop us a line. We'll put something on Instagram where you guys can tell us what your favorite memory is of your spouses or whomever you're grieving. Yeah, we should do that. I want to hear those memories. That means something to me. It's really
me too.
It means a lot to me.
I love sharing memories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Eric didn't love Christmas. It's not his thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Eric didn't dig holidays. Eric was pretty laissez-faire about most things. He liked rock and roll, and he liked the outdoors. Mm-hmm. He liked sports. That got him jazzed. He liked seeing me naked. That is about it, right? I can't think of much else that Eric cared about. Otherwise, he just went with the flow.
Ross would write, and I still have them. Maybe I'll share them. Here's a memory. Ross would write little notes to the boys like he was Santa. I know. He would always eat the cookies, drink the milk. He'd make me eat the carrots. And then he would put like footprints outside.
Oh.
Yeah. He was very much like.
He was as into it as you are.
Yeah. He was very much like, because of our kids.
Yeah.
He was the best dad. Like, just loved. He was like a kid at heart.
He is the best dad.
Yes. He is forever. A kid at heart. We got you this holiday.
We do got you this holiday.
I got you, boo. And got we you. Got you guys. Okay. So if anybody is feeling down these holidays, we are together.
Yeah. We are not alone. We're not right alone. Here beside you. And it's going to be hard. I wish that it wasn't, but it's going to be. I had someone ask me last weekend. They said, what was your Christmas like last year? And I said, I can't remember. I blocked it out.
And I said, I'll help you remember.
You did help me remember some things I did.
You did. You dropped off corn nuts for Gus for Christmas on Christmas Eve.
Because Allie's kid was riding in my car, and I had just gotten it detailed with my jackass son. And they opened up a bag of corn nuts, and they went all over my car. After I just spent all this money getting my car detailed.
I felt so bad. I'm so sorry.
I've forgiven you.
My kids.
My kids are just as bad. I love my kids. I wonder if all widowers and widows just sometimes are like, if I could just get rid of these kids for a couple of days, maybe I could really just grieve. Maybe I could finally just grieve if I didn't have all this responsibility looming over my head.
Yeah. They have saved me, but they've also drowned me.
Yes. Suffocating me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gotta love them.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, Allie and I need to sign off because we have a push-up contest to engage in. And we also need to get home to bed.
To your broth.
To my broth. Gotta put some meat in some broth. Drink some water. She thinks she's hilarious, by the way. You should see her cracking up over this.
I am hilarious.
You are very funny. You are very, very funny. Anyways, I do love soup. I do love soup. So signing off from the widowhood, happy Thanksgiving. I hope you guys all, by this time you hear this, it's going to be over. So I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving and let's gear up for Christmas. Allie and I intend to continue recording through the holiday season. So look forward to more episodes of the Hot Widows Club podcast.
Send us your favorite memories of your loved one that has passed.
We are trying to be more active on social media.
Send us pictures too.
Yeah.
We'll share them.
Yeah, absolutely.
With your favorite memory and a picture of your loved one.
Yeah, we should share more pictures of our men in our lives that we love, named Eric and Ross.
Sure. I would love to.
Okay, friends, signing off from the widowhood.
Good night.